everybody. Welcome back to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and we discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. My name is Mike, and I'll be one of your hosts. I'm joined here by my friend Gina.
Hey. Hey, Mike. Good to see you again. Hi. It's been a while.
Good. I know. It's been so long, right? And Kellen. Hey, Kellen.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Good to hear from you. Love your introductions as always.
Thank you. You think I'd get better at this, but...
By episode 200, I think we'll have it dialed in, guys.
So we'll figure it out.
We're at 30-something right now. And we are welcoming back our special guest from the last episode, Amy Fenton. Hello, Amy.
Hello, my friends.
Hello again. So we are picking up on a conversation that we started in the last episode. And so if you haven't listened to that episode, don't listen to this episode. Go back and listen to that episode, and then this will be part two. So we are continuing a conversation that we started around COVID-19 and about what we've learned thus far doing online services and online engagement for the last 7 weeks. But in this episode, we started talking about this last episode, but I want to kind of go a little bit deeper with it. I want to talk about what reentry looks like. And again, as we mentioned earlier, is that when it comes to reentry, it's important that as churches that we take our time with it, that we don't rush into it. And obviously your state and the CDC is going to have guidelines about, you know, when you can open, when you can start, you know, meeting together again, and then what are some things that need to be guidelines. And they're going to have some things that are going to be mandates as well. And so I kind of want to talk about those things in this episode. But before we kind of dive into that, I want to start with three questions, and we're not going to answer them right now, but I want you guys, Amy and Kellen and Gina, I want you to think about it because we're going to come back at the end of the episode. I want to hear what you have to say about these. Mm-hmm. But I also want you as a listener to kind of understand these questions and think about it. And again, no rush to answer them. But these are things that I want you to think about because I think we're in a unique opportunity when it comes to this whole crisis that we've been in to really think about ministry in a completely new and different way. And again, we mentioned this last episode is that, you know, with the COVID-19 crisis is that as we begin to re-enter, we can, as a church, we can either double down on what we've always done before, or we can learn to adapt and we can evolve into something new that God may be calling us to. And what is that? And so I heard these questions. These are not mine. I stole these from Jeff Henderson. He gave a talk last week at his FOUR conference that he had. And he had these questions. I just thought, gosh, these are so good that we need to get these in front of other ministry leaders. So I wanted to share them with you, and then we'll talk about them a little bit later. So question number one is that during this crisis, what are some things that we need to walk away from ministry-wise? That is, what are things that maybe you have been doing in your kids' ministry for the last few years or last few decades because either that's the way we've always done it, or maybe it was just because that was there when I got here, or we did that because we felt like we had to do something, or whatever it may be. There's probably something that you can identify, and maybe it's a program, or you know, maybe it's an initiative, or maybe it's an experience, or maybe it's an activity, or maybe it's a philosophy. But what's something that maybe you need to walk away from? Permission to walk away from it and not do it anymore as we come on the other side of this. Question number two is, what do you need to hold on to? And that is that, what are the foundational things that have been elevated for you during this crisis to say, you know what, this is foundational to who we are as a church and as a kids ministry. This pertains to our mission statement or to our strategy. And this philosophical thing, this strategy, this program, this is something that we need to not only hold on to, but maybe we need to even elevate even more. And then question number three is, where do you need to take new ground? Where do we need to take new ground? And as we look at what life and what church is going to look like in our communities on the other side of this crisis, there are new opportunities everywhere you look. And where, as a ministry, because it's going to be easy to maybe say you can get overwhelmed with every new opportunity or you go chasing every new opportunity.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that, but just where is it that maybe you feel like you need to take some new ground? So what do you need to walk away from? What do you need to hold on to? And then where do you need to take new ground? I want you to think about those three things as we talk about when it comes to the reentry point and some things that you need to think about, and then we'll come back and we'll unpack those questions near the end of our episode. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds awesome.
All right, so let's dive into, we talked about guidelines, and we talked about how it's going to be important because as a church for your community, you want to be seen as a church that is for your community, and again, depending on how your community has been affected by the COVID-19 crisis, that needs to play into the factor of when you decide to start meeting again. So we're going to assume, and we're not going to pick a date and say it's May or it's June or it's July or even if it's into the fall time, because we talked about that on the last episode and some things that you just need to think about. And again, probably the thing we would all agree upon is just say, take it slow. Like, don't rush into it. And there's some things you need to really consider and think about and pray about. But let's assume we have set a date and we are going to start gathering together again. And again, maybe it won't be like in the full capacity where everything is back to normal, because again, we would all agree there's a new normal. There's never going to be the old normal, right? So what are some guidelines that you would say in your conversations with churches, or even what you're thinking about with your own churches? What are some things that you would say, here are some things that you're going to need to think about whenever you decide to start meeting again?
I think for me, one thing that I'm encouraging people to think about is whatever the rules are for how many can gather, think about how you're going to mandate that. So let's say it's 100 people. What are you going to do to limit that? What does that look like? If you're going to follow the CDC guidelines and stay in compliance, then let's say you're a church that typically runs 500. How are you going to ensure how you only have 100 come per service? Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people who are already thinking through an RSVP system where they only allow 100 to RSVP that they're coming per service.
Wow.
But how do you control that?
Right, yeah, right. Who stands at the door to say 101 who didn't RSVP doesn't belong to a church? And quite frankly, they're the heart of who we're trying to reach. They don't know Christ, but they will walk through the doors. How do you determine that they don't get to come in or they do?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard question. I don't have an answer for that. But we need to have the conversation so that we're prepared, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we don't know what to do, where we don't have a plan.
Yeah.
That's such, it's so funny, like, having to think through this stuff, because like RSVPing for church.
I know.
It's weird. It's, yeah. Because we always say, like, you know, the church is for everyone. Yes. But until there's a pandemic and we can't have everyone at one time, that's such a crazy thought. And so if you're listening to this, please don't be turned off by like that idea. Don't be turned off by like, oh, it's so foreign.
Right.
And I love the questions that you found, Mike, and that you're asking about what do we need to walk away from? What do we need to keep? And where can we take new ground? Because I think it's really going to challenge, you know, so me being a young leader, young leader in this whole thing, it's so challenging and freeing, though, to be creative and to figure out new grounds. But if you're an older leader who has been going to church for 50 years the same way, some of this stuff can seem really intimidating.
Yeah.
And since we are talking about like ways that we can reinstitute people in the physical church, I was just talking to you guys off camera about my wedding. And I think if you're listening to this when this drops, I'm not quite yet married. And so we went from my fiancée, Katie. She's amazing. She's probably listening. So what's up, babe? Because she's great like that. We had like a 200-person wedding planned. Just like every person did the last few weeks. And we went from 200, and LA's like, hey, we have a 10-person ordinance. So then we're like, hey, what if maybe by the end of May, it'll be 30 people that we can get, which is immediate family and bridal party. And then LA's like, nope, we're going to extend the 10-person thing. So we creatively thought of, reimagined, which I think is a word that Mike or Amy said earlier, but we reimagined our wedding to do 3 weddings in one day that each have about 10 people. And they're different time slots. So 10 o'clock, we have her family. 11:30, we're going to have my family. And then 1 o'clock, we're going to have the bridal party. And it's different. It's unique. It's, you know, it's one of those things where in 10 years, we're going to look back and tell our kids, yeah, so we got married 3 times because your parents are amazing. Like, we're going to have the story to tell. But I want to encourage churches, like RSVPing, that's a different, but it's probably going to be a safe way to reinstitute people back in. So if churches have one awesome service, maybe thinking about multiple services. And if you have multiple services currently, thinking about, does church have to meet on a Sunday? I'm just thinking outside the box, like Saturday is a weekend day too. And so just really broadening your creative horizons, because like Mike said, the church, this isn't going to be the same moving forward. We can't think about the world being the same moving forward, especially since we're still dealing with, you know, a virus that we don't, I think Amy brought this up the last one, that we don't understand. We can't give you answers to, because we don't get it. So
yeah,
I think the more creative we can become, I think it's really going to benefit the church as a whole.
And I think that's the that I would hope that this is the encouraging part of all of this is, as church on the whole, we're pretty darn creative, mm-hmm. you know, and can come up with some good strategies. I would say, Mike, something that we would want to leave behind would be maybe the way in which we measure success in the past. Because now, especially for churches who maybe didn't have an online forum prior to COVID, now they do. Now they're trying to figure out what is winning. What does success look like in that space? Well, I think we mentioned this in the last podcast recording. We don't want to leave that behind. We want to carry that forward. In fact, continue to build it and build systems around making it successful. But it means that we are fighting to try to figure out what success looks like there. And maybe how do we redefine what success looks like for weekly services again?
I think when you bring up the word success, my first thought goes back to why I wanted to lead in the church. And I think if we, now I'm getting super just like theological, philosophical, like if you strip everything from the worship and the message and the greeters and the nursery, the reason all of us jumped into serving God in this capacity is because we want to see people come to Christ. We want to see people know Jesus and live out the purpose that, they've learned God has for them. And so I'm taking a step back and I'm letting everybody just think real quick, like, what was your initial reason for wanting to serve the church, whether you're a pastor or you're a small group leader or whatever it may be? Because I think we can really be daunted by, well, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. Ultimately, the Bible tells me to go out there and, make disciples and baptize people and blah, 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 blah. But like, I think that I can quote the scripture to those listening who know the scripture. But yeah, I think the heart of it is we want to reach people and let people know they're loved, that they're valued by God, and that Christ should be the center of their life. So even though I know we're going to talk more about strategy and stuff, I just want to take a second to just like, refocus, those listening, our minds to, our calling.
Well, it makes you ask the question that I think that's such a good point, Kellen, because it makes us take a step back and go, what is the win? Mm. What is the win for your church during this season? Is the win to just open the doors and get people back in? Yesterday, even, I was in a conversation with a group of ministry leaders, and they were even brainstorming, what does it look like to have community groups, like church in homes with people that they know, and they know they've been isolated and they feel comfortable. Like, it's an act, almost the church in the book of Acts, we met together in homes and broke bread together. Like, do you position people in your church to meet in homes, and some come to the building and some meet in a park? And how do we get super creative to think, what can we do right now to allow people to worship together? But does it have to just be what's painted on our sign outside our church that we meet at 9 and 11?
I'll go buy you new paint if you want.
Right.
Amy, to jump off of that, I think to Mike's question about, what do you want to hold on to? So Amy, I'm thinking about, I've had some conversations with some ministry leaders. They don't have a date set, but there's one in view, like they've got an idea in view as to when they are pretty sure they're going to be reopening doors. And strategies right now is to start within small groups, is when they can meet in groups larger than 10. Then how do we resource a group to meet in the home to have watch parties, service watch parties, basically. But here's the beauty of why I think that could work in such an amazing way now. When I think about my neighborhood, nearly every single day in my neighborhood, there has been a parade in my neighborhood to celebrate a child's birthday. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that on Facebook, that's not unique. Like, there are a lot of neighborhoods that's what they're doing. They're banding together because a kid can't have a birthday party like they would normally have. And so how do we celebrate it? Well, legitimately, they're painting signs and they're driving, we're driving by people's houses and honking our horns and celebrating and wishing them a happy birthday. Imagine just for a minute, the connections right now that are happening on my street alone are far more because we're all at home right now.
Yep.
So we're all out walking our dogs at the same time and we're having conversations from our porches. If you equip me as a church attender to be able to have a watch party in my home, I'm able to leverage these relationships now that are strengthening and building over time because we're just outside walking around and interacting more with our neighbors than we were in the past.
Yep.
Well, now I'm equipped to reach my neighborhood. And it's not saying, hey, drive 5 miles down the road or 10 miles down the road to this church building, but it's instead, hey, you were at my house last Friday night, you know, having dinner. Come over to my house, you know, this Sunday afternoon. I'd love to invite you to this watch party and watch the service together, right? It's just a different way of doing church. And it's more, I think, to your point, more Acts 2.
Yeah, I love it. And here's the thing is like, whatever the other side of this is going to look like, it's going to require a lot of work. It's going to require a lot of planning. It's going to require a lot of organization to get people. But when you look at the alternatives to say, what if I just leaned into whatever's already happening in your neighborhood? And what if I just, you know, leaned into that and equipped you to have an online experience? So we're leveraging what we've learned new, but then we're putting you together in smaller groups and trying to figure out how we can help you and equip you to build community in your neighborhood. And now you're becoming almost a mini campus of the larger campus. Mm-hmm. And that there's like, oh, but there's so much to figure out. Yes, there is. But the opposite is true. Like, what if you decided to start gathering again as a large gathering? But then you think about, okay, well, we got to close down the common gathering areas and we have to rope off every other pew or every other row of chairs, or we have to ask all staff and volunteers and attendees to wear masks, and we have to ask our senior citizens to stay at home or above 65 years old because we don't want them to be at risk, and we have to adhere to social distancing, and we have to not do this. And like, there's so much work to that, as opposed to like with your wedding, Kellen, like, oh, if we used to do two services, but now to accommodate everybody to meet back at our big building, we now have to have 4 or 6 services just to accommodate the crowd that we had of 200 or 300 people. Mm-hmm. What if instead we put all that time and energy into rethinking the model? Like, that's exciting.
Yeah,
it is. And if I could argue this point, where's the momentum right now? It's not inside a church building right now, if that's fair to say.
That is fair.
Reopening our doors means trying to generate a lot of momentum that currently doesn't exist. Well, we know that takes a lot of effort. There is existing momentum happening within the neighborhoods right now. And so how do we leverage that and lean into that? Because we can go further faster if we lean into that.
Yeah, I think, and for kids ministry specific, I think churches as a whole, all the stuff we just said, don't need to reiterate that. But I think for kids ministry as a whole, I think the number one thing kids will want is something that is familiar to a degree, because we repeat things because we want things to be familiar to kids. So giving them something that's a bit more familiar, and whatever their new norm is, all it needs to do is be consistent. Because I know we talk about that a lot. I know in the orange circles, but just as a whole, it's like consistency is key. So if your new norm is, hey, we're going to be doing Zoom online where you can see your friends. Parents have Zoom accounts and kids can easily hop on there to see their friends. Or if it's a watch party with kids, as long as whatever you're creatively making, it just needs to be consistent. You can't bail on it 2 weeks in because the numbers or the stats or whatever you're looking for aren't where you want them. It's just like in the very beginning when that's all totally hear a dog in the background.
Sorry.
But we love dogs. This podcast, we endorse dogs, not so much cats. But I think it just needs to be consistent and be creative. And one thought that I had on the last podcast, that the last one that we recorded, but I wrote down, was for me, all of this change has been like a breath of fresh air. Because I was expressing to one of my friends, they're like, so when's the last time you took a Sunday off? Because my Sundays, I think, are now more like stressful than they were when I, you know, would meet in a building, mainly because I don't see my little homies. And whenever I see kids, it kind of gives me that energy and that excitement.
Yeah.
But now I'm sitting on a screen commenting in the chat and, you know, having to, all right, families, make sure you go to our app or our website to do this, that, and the other. And it's not as, you know, engaging. One thing that I was thinking about from our last podcast was that we have this brand new focus, and I've been doing a lot for Sunday mornings. Like, I'm, you know, having to be on the screen, but I don't get that same interaction as kids. But for me, I've been, and I know I'm younger than, you know, all you guys on this podcast, but for me, I've been in like full-time ministry mode for the last like 15 years, where I don't remember a Sunday that I wasn't at a church doing something.
Right.
So for me, this has been a breath of fresh air to, I can be creative and I don't have to wake up at 4 in the morning because I have a church plan. Wake up 4 in the morning, but I can wake up a little bit later, but I can designate more time throughout the week to think of something creative. Like, I'm going on YouTube. I'm reading kids' books on YouTube and making breakfast on Saturday with a devotion. And parents and kids are tuning in. They think it's hilarious how I don't know how to cook eggs. But, like, the creativity for me has, like, blossomed because we had to be creative.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage anyone listening. Yet, like Mike was saying, it's going to be a lot of work either way.
Yeah.
You get back in the building, a lot of work. You do groups, a lot of work.
Yep.
But I think we have this moment of creativity and a little bit of freshness in
sure.
what the church has been doing for the last, since America was created and plus, I guess.
Yeah. And so. Yeah, I think there are, you know, kid ministry leaders out there who probably may not have a choice in when they can start meeting again because the senior pastor very well may say, hey, we're going to start meeting together. And again, you talk about the creativity, you can continue to meet, whether it's the drive-in churches, right? Or some churches are going to start meeting again, and they're going to decide not to have children's programming or nursery preschool right now, but the adults are still going to meet. So if you're in that situation, then you have to be creative and think about, okay, how can I still continue to give the families that are not going to come because we don't have any children's programming, but how can I still give them the online experience? So again, every situation is going to be different, and we just want you to, again, we have an opportunity and you have equity in your pocket to make some changes that maybe wasn't there before this whole crisis hit.
That's good. That's good. Mike, I just feel the need to say this because I know that we, as churches, we're competitive people. It's just in our nature. I know Gina McLean is uber competitive woman. I know from experience she's competitive. But in that, I would also like to encourage our leaders to be careful in being competitive. I noticed on one of our Facebook pages that somebody said they're opening back up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were jumping in. Wow, are you really? Maybe we could. And the more I read down the thread, she said that her church typically runs around 95 people and they have 5 kids. So for them, it's going to be easier for them to open up because they said, you know, kids will just sit with their parents and we've blocked off every other row. So I think for us to be careful who you think you're competing with because things can so easily be taken out of context. Like, I think we cannot reiterate enough. You have got to lean into your community and find what works for your building and your people and your kids and your volunteers.
I love that you said that. I would add to that, don't be competitive and be careful not to be judgmental. Because if you don't have all the facts and a church is opening up in your community before you are, it's easy to look at them and say, well, you know, I can't believe they're putting the community at risk or this and that. But like you said, they may be at a size contextual-wise where they can adhere to the guidelines that are in place to make sure. But if you're at a larger church than that church you just mentioned, Amy, then that's going to be harder for you. So be kind.
Right.
Be kind during this whole process. Give a lot of grace and don't be competitive. And again, we're all for each other, you know? So it's great thoughts. Great thoughts to say. So let's circle back to these three questions. I know we've kind of mention them throughout so far here and there, but I just want to get, we're going to go one question at a time. I want to get an answer from each of you guys. Okay. And it can be ministry related, or maybe this is just life related, wherever this question lands on you. But these are questions that I would love for everybody to remember at the conclusion of this episode, and that you take these questions into this next chapter as you begin to figure out what things look like on the other side. So what are some things that we need to walk away from? And let's go, I'll go Gina first.
Thank you.
You're competitive, so I want you to go first. I know you want to be first.
Friend, thank you. I appreciate that. No, actually, I love going last because I love trumping everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought that when he said that, I was like, bad. I think she likes to survey the competition first.
I actually do. Oh, you figured me out. I think, what do we need? I'm gonna think in based upon how I have operated for a number of years as a ministry leader, which, yes, Kellen, you did allude to my age earlier. Thank you.
I didn't mean to. I wasn't sure how to say that.
No, I think what I would want to leave behind is the thinking that I can't start something unless I can do it in mass. Hmm. You know, I can't start something unless I can do it large scale. I want to leave that thinking behind because at the end of the day, the thing that I have found most meaningful through this season have been the smaller things that have happened. It's the small reaches. It's the one person who called that I didn't expect to say, just to ask the question, Gina, how are you doing? You know, how's your family right now? That is not something, as a ministry leader, when I'm looking at the scope of the families that I'm responsible for, how can I do that en masse? I would immediately move away from that idea of having a personal conversation with every parent that calls my church home, because there's no way I could get that done, you know? And I would want to leave that thinking behind, because in a season like today, as a ministry leader, the thing that I want to lean on the most, it goes back to what we talked about in the last podcast, the thing I want to lean on the most is connection and not my content, you know?
That's great.
So that's what I want to leave behind.
Okay. Amy.
I hope we would walk away from feeling isolated in ministry. I think I see too many people in kids ministry, especially, who develop the poor me syndrome. You know, well, I don't have enough volunteers, or I just have to do it all myself. You know, nobody will do it with me, or nobody will help me. And thus they begin to isolate and they begin to try to do it all themselves, which is such a dangerous place to be anyway. But I think during this, it has surely shown them that the power of our volunteers, you know, we need to elevate those people and lean into them. And we can't do this alone. You cannot be, just to piggyback off of what Gina was saying, I can't be the one to call every single family and check in with them. So I hope that more than ever, it teaches us to truly link arms with the people who are volunteering and serving in our ministry and do this as a team.
Yeah, that's great. Kellen?
Mine is simply, and I've been saying this for years, and I just am so glad that this is an opportunity for it to really sink into people, is golden calf traditions.
Okay.
Just because you always have been doing it doesn't mean you always need to do it.
Yeah.
And every church is different. Every denomination has those one or two things where it's like, oh, we're the church, we have to do this. And I'm here to say and push back and say, you don't have to do anything but preach the gospel. And so I think whatever those traditions that we have, and I was going to say big events, but I think Gina said it way better of you don't have to do it in mass scale for it to be impactful. So I just say, if you're listening, just the golden calf of like, the lead pastor won't ever let me not do this, or me, the kids pastor, we have to do this. I think that mentality needs to go to the wayside because of just kind of the new norm that we're in.
That's great. I'm going to go deep for a second with my answer, and I'm going to say, I think we need to do away with, as an introvert, we need to do away with the meet and greet time, where you force me to turn to somebody that I don't know and shake their hand and ask them some dumb question. Let's just walk away from that right now. I proclaim that in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. Let's go back to you, Gina, and let's talk about number two. What is something that we need to hold on to?
I can't, I'm just going to stay on this soapbox. We got to hang on to connection. In the conversations that I've had with ministry leaders, I'll ask them that question. What are you seeing right now that you hope doesn't go away when we start reconvening as a church again? When you open the doors, I got to change that phrasing. When you open the doors of your church again.
Yeah.
The thing, somebody said this yesterday, I thought it was so good. They said that our church is not closed. Just the building is not available right now, right? And it's, we need to be reminded of that. In this season, I asked them that question, you know, what do you hope continues? And the answers always center around the same thing. It's around people connecting with people. It's around small group leaders connecting with their kids more consistently, leaning into it more. It's small group leaders connecting with parents, you know, and building meaningful relationship with them. So where the parent didn't know their name before, now they do, right? Where the parent didn't have email access to them before, now they do. Where the parent didn't engage them on social media in the past, now they are. And so, in fact, one church leader that I was talking with yesterday, he said, these have become so profoundly important to me. When the doors of our church open again, and when we start meeting together as a church, I am committed to figuring out how to build the systems to continue to support these outcomes that I'm seeing and these connections that I'm seeing, because they are so good. And so for me, that's same vein. It's just that connection. That's what I want to hang on to.
Love it. Amy?
You know, I was going to say small group leaders and partnering with parents too, but that's basically what Gina said. But yeah. There's another thing. I think that just honoring our volunteers more, you know, I used to always build in a budget line item to just honor my volunteers, just to do something nice for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that people right now, probably pre-COVID, probably spent more time and money and energy, some of them worrying about what their stage decor looked like, than pouring into their volunteers.
Mm, yeah.
And so I think just rethinking what's the most important thing, and those volunteers and how they partner with parents are so key. Like I hope that we will just hold on dearly to the value we've realized that they bring to the table,
yeah,
and not let that go. And maybe we sacrifice some other things to trade out, you know, what it might cost us to do more for the volunteers.
Kellen?
I don't know why I have to go behind two amazing leaders who have written things and blogged and books, and now you're asking me to say something.
You just say ditto. You just say, I agree. Just amen. That's right.
I would say, honestly, I was going to say what they just said, yep, but a little bit differently. Did you guys ever watch Scooby-Doo?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Scooby-Doo's, was it nephew or whatever, Scrappy-Doo, came in later?
Scrappy-Doo.
And he used to always yell, puppy power?
Yep.
We got to yell people power. It's all, like, the church is a people. Like, there's power in people. And everything, just a ditto, everything they said. But if I were to not ditto what they just said, the one thing that we should hold on to is remembering that when it comes to kids ministry, that it's the families. We want the families to win. We want the kids to win. So yep, we don't need to provide more resources, because there is resources out the wazoo on every platform of everything. But we need to remember that we need to connect with the families, so the families feel like they have a support system,
yep,
and that they can win at home. That's what I'd say.
That's good. I would agree with everything you guys said. I would just add on to it to say the one thing we need to hold on to is the mission. And we've always talked about, and it's cliche, that the mission never changes, but the strategy and the vision does. And I feel like strategy, whatever you had before COVID-19, just went out the window. And you need to reimagine what your strategy is going to be on the other side of this. But the thing that doesn't change, like you all alluded to, is the mission about why God called us into this role, into this ministry, why our church is here in this community. Why do we exist for this community? And let's stick with that. Let's hold on to that. But then let's change everything else to help us accomplish our mission. So, okay, so let's wrap up. Number three, where do we need to take new ground? So this has provided a lot of opportunity. And again, this can be in church-wise or this can be personal-wise. Where is it you feel like as a church we need to take new ground? Gina?
Oh my gosh, I was hoping you'd skip me for this one. This one's a little bit harder for me to answer, but I want to go back to the whole momentum idea. We're seeing momentum in people connecting with people within our communities. And so I think that's where new ground needs to be taken. And it's so funny because it doesn't sound like new ground, because it sounds like things that we used to do decades ago as a church. Yeah. But honestly, our neighborhood, the people on our street are talking about putting together a block party once more than 10 people can gather together, you know?
Yep.
And so is it possible that maybe the new ground is just taking a look at where do we see momentum within our community, where somebody who follows Christ can interact with somebody who doesn't follow Christ? And how do we pour gasoline or fuel on that?
That's great. Amy?
Honestly, I've been sitting here thinking about this from the perspective of a single mom. If you don't know me, I am a single mom of three.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking back to the days when my kids used to be away from me every other weekend and away from our church. And I think how much I love not just the online platform that's been created for content, but also the online connection that's happened. So every week right now, my kids are meeting, they're logging on to watch a message, but then they're meeting with their small group. And I think if I'd had that in that season, for them to connect with their small group every single week, because they missed every other week anyway. And then if we ever went on vacation or traveled, you know, they missed more. Like, I love that online piece that we've developed. And I hope we just keep on thinking creatively how far that could go and what that could become and what we could do to continue to reach our communities with that.
Really good. Because imagine transitioning a group of seniors, you know?
Yeah.
Who grew accustomed to meeting in that way, and now they've transitioned into their new year or the next year after high school. How that can connection continue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Kellen?
Mine's super quick. Where do you need to take new ground? To me, new ground is totally relative to where you're at. If you're an older church who has not jumped into online, hey, I know there's a new ground for you there. If you're a church that didn't rely on small groups, there's new ground for you right there. But I think the biggest take new ground is every kids leader and kids pastor out there needs to tap into their source of creativity. They need to tap into, everyone's creative. I'm not creative when it comes to drawing. I'll tell you that now. I stink at it. But you put a camera in front of me and just say, do something. Mike's seen it. I will make the people smile. I will figure out something because we all have different avenues of where we're creative.
You will.
So I would say tap into your creativity. And like what Gina said earlier, don't worry about it being produced on a mass scale. McDonald's was a one building before it became a global conglomerate. So you need to figure out that one creative idea for your context. And I think you'll find a lot of new ground there.
Nope, that's great. And I would agree with all that. And I would just add on to your point, Gina. I think the new ground is going to show itself naturally and intuitively. And don't be afraid to lean into it. And it's going to look maybe completely different than the way you used to do things. But that's where the momentum is at. And so fuel that as opposed to trying to manufacture it from the beginning and start it, you know. So anyways, that's where your new ground is going to show you. I don't have one particular thing to say, but just look for it. And it'll show itself, especially in your communities. And like you mentioned with the block parties and everything. I think that's great. Well, we are done with this episode, guys. So we have talked a lot about this and gone over time a little bit, but that's okay because it was great stuff. And Amy, thanks so much for hanging out with us today and sharing your insight and your wisdom, and appreciate all you do again with Orange Specialist work, helping churches all across the country, and especially with VBS. And if you don't know anything about VBS, orangevbs.com,
yes,
I would encourage you to check it out because Amy and her team have worked really hard to make sure that your kids not just have a great week, but they have a great summer. And I know that summer is going to look different this year. And so they have been working around the clock trying to not reinvent, but you guys have been pivoting with VBS, not just in terms of providing an online experience, but you guys have been doing other stuff as well, right?
Yes, we've hosted a ton of strategy sessions that are over on orangevbs.com to help you think outside the box. We have redone the curriculum to make it where you can use it for virtual VBS, VBS in a smaller group, in a home. We are really, really working hard to make sure we're meeting the needs of every church, no matter the size and no matter where they have to meet this summer.
That's great. I appreciate all the work you guys have been doing with that.
Thank you.
Thanks again for hanging out with us. And thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. And if you are looking for more resources to help during this COVID-19 season and some of the things that we've mentioned as far as the anxiety conversation guides or some parenting tools or even the online content that we have been providing for churches, you can find all that and more at orangekidmen.com. It's orangekidmen.com. And again, as always, if you've had a friend or a volunteer who's come to mind that you think would benefit from listening to this episode, make sure you share this episode. Make sure that you leave a rating or a review for this episode because it helps out the podcast a whole bunch. So Kellen, Gina, Amy, thank you again for your time. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and insight. Appreciate you guys big time.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening again. And Kellen, you know what time it is. So last episode, you dropped the ball. I'm not going to lie to you. So we need to step it up here. So Kellen, it's time to take us out with Lil Diddy in 3, 2, 1.
It's the eye of the COVID. It's the scare of the fight. Rising up to the challenge for our families.
That's all I got. That was awesome.
That was a great verse into the chorus, but I feel like you dropped the chorus. Like
I tried to. I was like, what's that?
Eye of the tiger. I mean, you can't.
Eye of the COVID.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah, that's all we got, friends. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Bye.